This podcast is intended to motivate, educate, support, and inspire you on your journey towards inner peace. We are not medical professionals, and we do not offer any medical advice. If you are suffering from a psychological or medical condition, please seek the advice of a licensed medical professional. Welcome to A Witch, a Mystic, and a Feminist. Today, Daisy and I are joined by Carolyn Wallace. Carolyn is a practicing psychotherapist, a spiritual director, and a certified archetypal consultant. Welcome, Carolyn.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about what exactly an archetypal consultant is?
Sure. So I was trained through Carolyn Mace's program called Sacred Contracts. And what we do is through our training is we, when people come to us, it's because generally they want some kind of change in their life or they want to just learn more about themselves. Mm-hmm. It's a different lens through which you can learn about yourself. So people come and we say, okay, let's figure out what your 12 personal archetypes are.
Okay.
And there's a process for figuring that out, which of course they're the most active in that part because I don't know what people's archetypes are. So we figure out their personal 12 and then we cast it into a wheel, an archetypal wheel, kind of like the astrological wheel.
Okay.
And we see which of their 12 falls in which house of the archetypal wheel. And then I do a chart interpretation and it can, you know, I have a 90-day program. It takes about 90 days to go through this process.
Okay.
And by the end, you should kind of have a blueprint of your life. What we're looking for is all of our archetypes that we have, all 12, if we're not conscious of them, they show up kind of through their shadow sides and reactivity in ways that maybe we wish we weren't behaving. And so through really paying attention to your archetypes, putting them in your archetypal wheel, we can figure out like where you're tripping yourself up, where you're not aware of, and how we can evolve each archetype into a pattern that's more helpful. We call it going from shadow to light. So your archetypes don't change, but we can really work on evolving them so that you're living more of the life that you're supposed to be living. That makes sense.
Absolutely.
It totally does. That's awesome. Yeah. So can you tell me a little more about the wheel itself? Like, what are these different houses?
Well, are you familiar with astrology? See, I am not an astrologer. I wish I were. I am not an astrologer, but I do understand the houses of the archetypal wheel. So that like one house corresponds to a specific area of your life.
Okay.
For example, the first house that answers your question, who am I? Who have I come into this earth to be? So depending on which archetype falls in your first house, that's a very fundamental thing to know. And of course, the answering the question, who am I, will influence all the rest of your chart because we bring that with us all the way through.
Okay.
Your second house has to do with your resources, your values, including your finances and what values you bring to the world. And so whatever archetype falls in your second house will really help us understand how that's showing. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
I do.
Like, for example, what do I have in my second house? I think I have saboteur in my second house.
Okay.
So if I'm not conscious of what I'm doing in my second house, I might be doing things to sabotage the resources that I have or my finances. Surprise, surprise. So what I want to do is be very cautious about charging forward with a saboteur in my second house. Understand that the saboteur evolves to the guardian of choice and being very careful about the choices that I need to make that will lead me to having more success in my second house.
How would you find these different archetypes for these different houses? Like, do you work with your clients on figuring out what those archetypes are in like maybe talk therapy or something like that? Like, I'm curious how you and your clients figure that out.
Well, I give them a big list. There's this big list called the Gallery of Archetypes. It's not an all-inclusive list. There are hundreds of archetypes.
Okay.
So we kind of talk about their patterns, mostly childhood patterns. This first chart that we do is called the Chart of Origin. So we're looking at the patterns that that you kind of came into the world with. As an adult, we might be more interested. Like as an adult, I'm really enthralled with the diva archetype.
Okay.
But that's not one of my patterns that I've had since childhood. That's just something I'm wanting to bring in now. So I wouldn't include that one in my chart of origin.
Okay.
So we give you a list of 72 archetypes. There's also lots of great books. I love the book by Sally Kempton called Awakening Shakti. It talks about a lot of the goddess archetypes. So if there's something that really resonates with you in your research, if you're reading them, you say, oh, that is me, then that's probably one of your 12.
Okay.
And we go through, they may come to me and say, okay, I've done my research. I found 20. And we'll talk about all of them and narrow it down to 12 and go from there.
Well, I think I'm familiar with even like a tarot deck. Is it Carolyn Mace has like a tarot deck that has all the archetypes? Because I believe I've done a reading like that with someone.
She, maybe she does. I'm not aware of all the things that she has. She has a deck of cards called the archetype cards. And so if you're interested, you don't have to spend money. It's also online. But if you wanted to get some cool cards, I think I have it right here.
Yes.
These are the archetype cards. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
And then you look through them all and pick out the ones that resonate with you.
Yeah, I think I love visual representations, and I'm a tarot card reader. So when I have that visual representation, it helps me to connect to the archetype.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Maybe you can explain what an archetype is to the audience so that they even understand what that concept is.
Yeah. So an archetype, according to Carolyn Mace, an archetype is simply a pattern. It's a pattern, psychological and emotional pattern. She tends to call them patterns of power. And so they're universal and they kind of live in our collective consciousness. And when they show up, kind of everyone can recognize them. Everyone. So for example, the example I often use is this: say you were in a fast food restaurant and the person in front of you started berating the cashier because they got the order wrong. So the bully archetype is very well present. So if you've got the bully archetype, it's really important to be conscious that you have it. See, there's no shame or blame for having any archetype. Okay. It's how are we going to use it in this lifetime? So a bully in the shadow is going to have like come across with a kind of a destroyer energy and make people feel bad and hurt people's feelings and also bounce back on you and make you not have a really great life. But if you evolve the archetype of the bully, maybe you could become a great motivator of people, like someone that really lights a fire under people, get them going in the direction they need to be going without violating boundaries with their consent. You see the difference? You can have the same archetype in destructive ways, in ways that don't serve you, and in ways that can be very,
well,
very
I think that's really
for
wonderful for people, because when they, you know, belittle or they think some part of them is shameful, it's so much more difficult to go from that immature part of themselves to the more mature and, like you're saying, evolved version of that same thing.
Yes, yes. Think about people with the addict archetype and how much shame can come with the addict archetype in the shadow. But truthfully, the addict archetype can be such an integritous, necessary archetype for humanity in the light. It's the light side of the addict would be someone who has to do this constant self-monitoring, because they know and with humility that with like one step to this direction, they're going to be back in their addict in the shadow. So they have to like really toe that line and then have so much compassion for others because they know how hard it is. So there's not, you know, the addict in the light wouldn't have judgment around people who are struggling. They're there to support and be a model for how to like do this constant self-monitoring. It's a tough one to have, but it's also probably, you know, worth the effort. And it's a model that we all need to follow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do we have any like archetypes that, because, you know, doing a little bit of research on you and, you know, what you're doing, are there any specific archetypes that everyone has?
Yep. Carolyn Mace describes four archetypes that are called the survivors, she called it. And we all have four survivors, which are the victim, the prostitute, the saboteur, and the child.
Okay.
And we can all get caught in those patterns, and we all do. And even when we evolve them, say I work really hard to evolve my victim archetype, right? I really work hard at it because I know that one really well. It could be that in a moment, I'll be right back there in the beginning again. And I have to start to say, okay, oh my gosh, now I'm feeling this way again. Start to recognize it. What do I need to do to evolve my consciousness now? I don't want to stay in this place. So it's not like we ever evolve them and stay there as much as we want to, or maybe some people can, but it's like the different levels of consciousness, which I can get into if you want me to talk about that. But we're kind of moving back and forth between them all. And the trick is it's not how do we stay out of the lower levels of consciousness. It's how quickly can we notice them? How quickly can we recognize them? And how quickly can we make the choices we need to make to start doing better? And if you get good at it, you can do it right away. And then knowing that we all get tripped up sometimes.
Yeah, it seems like a 90-day program would give people a lot of time and space to kind of create habits around that kind of self-awareness and to be able to evolve those patterns at a higher rate. Like, because I've been doing my own work for 5 or 6 years, I don't tolerate or I see myself going into a pattern, you know, within days or weeks instead of like, months of doing something or years of doing something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's practice. Absolutely. It's practice of being conscious of our own patterns. And if we have good friends who we give permission to call us out on this stuff, it goes even faster. So I'm lucky I have some dear, dear archetype friends. We've been working together now for maybe a year and a half. We meet every Tuesday night and they have my full permission to call me out, and they do. So it's actually quite helpful. They do it with love, and it makes my evolution that much better. And we do it for each other, and it can be really helpful.
Absolutely. Honesty is so important. And I think that we are maybe calling ourselves into a space where we can be more honest with each other instead of maybe the people pleasing or a little bit of that kind of wobble that we tend to get if someone's going to maybe accept or not accept what the truth is or the honesty that we have for somebody. So important.
Yep. And I think part of what you're talking about is the prostitute archetype, okay, where we give ourselves away for emotional, financial safety. It doesn't have to look like sex. It can look like staying in a job way too long, way longer than we know we're done with this job or a relationship, but we stay because we're of fear or fear of financial consequences or fear of speaking up to our boss because fear of what ramifications that could be. That's the prostitute archetype. And so when she evolves, she becomes the guardian of faith, and the guardian of faith has this confidence that they can speak what's true to them for them with the confidence that no matter what the consequences are, they're going to be able to hold themselves in integrity and move forward with their life.
Oh yeah. So important. Amazing.
So what made you decide to get into becoming an archetypal consultant? Because you're also a practicing psychotherapist.
I am. Well, the spiritual world, I was a yoga teacher for a long time. I have my 500-hour yoga teacher certification from Kripalu. There's this aspect of divinity that I can't deny. And one of the things that when I was working on my own chart, the person that I worked with saw that I have the mystic archetype. And that just makes so much sense because there's a spiritual component to my personality that you can't always bring into psychotherapy. That's not what psychotherapy clients are there for a lot of the time. Now, sometimes there's a really good fit and I can bring some of that in with psychotherapy, but that's not what people come to a therapist for. They come for other reasons, and that's great. And then, you know, we'll do whatever work is there to do. But I want to use words like divinity and evolving consciousness. And let's look at the light side of what your hermit is doing today or whatever it is. I want to have those conversations.
Yeah.
So when did you decide to make that switch and into this?
Maybe back in 2016, something like that. Okay. I changed my job. I was working in a mental health clinic, and I was tired of having to be on someone else's schedule. Kind of tired of having to have my butt in the chair at 9. You know, at the time I had 2 young children. It just wasn't working for me and I needed more freedom. Mm-hmm. So I wanted just to create more freedom. So going into private practice allowed me to have that. And then as I was doing that, like I just have this insatiable, I just want to study. I want to study more about human consciousness and how we can evolve ourselves and evolution and what works for people. And it's just, you know, I feel like I'm not even done yet. I'm doing these things now, but who knows in 10 years what I'll be doing? I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you were saying that you evolved your own maybe inner prostitute to get to that job that brought you more joy and satisfaction, and, you know, that mystic archetype got to be awakened even deeper for you in that space.
Yeah, that's right. I left an unhappy marriage and I had all of my survivor archetypes on board while I was in it. And then while I just have an article published in Elephant Journal this month, and where I really talk about the victim archetype and how that had to evolve in order for me to leave my unhappy marriage. But really, I mean, I highlighted the victim archetype in that article, but really it was all four of my survivors on board there. Yeah.
What are some of the more exciting, well, I mean, not exciting may not be the word, but what are some of the archetypes that feel like more, I mean, I know everything has a shadow and a light, but like, what are some ones that we could play with that maybe feel a little bit more lighthearted?
Well, how about the pioneer? I mean, I look at women creating podcasts and starting businesses in order to bring good messages to other people. And I think visionary, I think pioneer, I think healer. Do those, any of those resonate for either of you?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, that's my whole job. I think okay. That we've come to a time now where women's roles aren't what they used to be, right?
Right.
Where we're stepping more into an equal role and being able to kind of take on what traditionally hasn't been maybe accessible for women.
That's right. And doing it our way, not in the model of patriarchy. We're doing it in a completely different way. And podcasts like this one are giving people just the modeling to know that it's okay to do it our way. Mm-hmm. We don't have to fit into any other model. Mm-hmm. We fit into the way that feels right for us.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a beautiful, beautiful message to send. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, and I'm sitting here just listening. And so I love bringing on guests that do things that I'm not completely familiar with. And so what would, if I were to come to you as a new client, like, what would it be like? What would day one be like?
So day one, well, we would have like an onboarding interview. I would either talk to you on the phone or do a 15-minute consultation. And I would want to get clear what blocks you may be facing. Mm-hmm. What are some things you want to work on? If you could see your life a year from now, what would you like to be different? So I kind of am aware in my mind as we're going through your chart, mm-hmm. what I need to be highlighting and focusing on. And then the very first session, we talk about the survivor archetypes. I'm trying to remember now what my outline is. We would talk about the survivor archetypes, and I would explain the three levels of consciousness as outlined by Carolyn Mace. They're called, I won't go into them all right now, but they're called Chronos, Kairos, and Cosmic. And that's the evolution of each archetype. And so once we have that foundation, mm-hmm. after the first session, I will send the Gallery of Archetypes list. It has, I think, 72 archetypes, but also other resources. And then they would spend the next 2 weeks kind of picking and choosing archetypes that resonate with them. And then we would come back. Our second session would be kind of going through all of the archetypes that they've chosen. And we would talk about them all and really kind of decide which they're going to choose for their chart. You know, which patterns have been there since childhood, why they picked the ones they did, which ones seem more prominent in their life and why. And sometimes it's really hard. There's different families of archetypes, so you don't want too many from the same family. You know, you want to spread it out a little bit. And then I give them instructions on how to cast their wheel, which they do on their own. And, you know, then in between times, they send me what they came up with. And then I can do some research to figure out, well, suppose somebody has mother in their first house. I would do some research on connecting the mother archetype with the question of who am I, and describe how that might show up in shadow and light. And then they would say, oh, yeah, this is how this has been so prominent in my life. And if we can connect it back to their original question and things they want to work on, we do that. And we kind of go all the way through and work with each archetype that way.
So then you have like people like me who, when I go to therapists or whatnot, say I'm like choosing some of these archetypes, but I'm choosing who I want to be and not necessarily who I actually am. Right. So yes. how do you dig through that? Because I know for me, it does take a while for me to open up and really like dig in and see and also trust the person that I'm talking to. You know, I kind of have always played a role or, you know, had a mask on. So how do you break down that mask so that people are able to?
That's a good question, because we do kind of dive right in, because there's only 7 one-on-one sessions with me. Of course, we can always extend. If people want to extend, we can do that. But the original package is 7 sessions. So we do kind of have to get down to work. But what I tell people to remember is that there are this is just the chart of origin that I'm offering right now, but there are other charts that we can always do later. There's charts called a journey of transformation. And when you do a journey of transformation chart, you get to pull in the archetypes that you want to be there.
Okay.
You know, you get to do that. And because we really want the juice that those archetypes have.
Right.
Like, say I don't have, like I mentioned before, the diva archetype, but I really want her energy in my life. When I'm doing a journey of transformation chart, or a more involved chart would be a fate to destiny chart, believe me, she's going to be in that chart. So you just have to be a little patient. We got to get the chart of origin down first, you know, from all the childhood patterns. And once we have that, then we can take off and do more with that.
Okay.
Very cool.
And then I'm also thinking, I'm like, you know, I sit here and I'm like, I had a good childhood, but I honestly don't remember a lot of it. And so how would you find those patterns for someone like me who maybe doesn't remember a whole lot of their childhood before the age of like 12?
Well, we just work with what you have, okay. Right? I think when you flip through all these archetype cards in that box I just showed, some of them are going to resonate with you. Just because these were part of your childhood, you still have them.
Okay.
They haven't gone away.
Okay.
They haven't gone anywhere. So if you're a pioneer now, it's likely you've always had some pioneer type thinking or pioneer thought. Or if you're a rebel now, we can probably look back and remember when you were a rebel when you're a kid. You know,
yeah, that one resonates.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to give people and hand people back their work, to be able for them to be honest with themselves and to be able to look at themselves and really pick out what feels like it truly resonates. That's part of the work of someone knowing who they are. If they're going to be able to do this work in kind of a more long-term sense, they have to be able to kind of be truly looking at themselves. And if it's something more that they want, or if it's something more that they're like hoping to be like, then there's a seed of that most likely already within themselves that resonates with that, awesome. Right? And so it's not really like an untruth about who they are, but you know, that there's some part of them that hasn't evolved fully into the full experience of that archetype.
Right. And, you know, I often say that my ideal clients are people who have already spent some time in therapy, who already know themselves. I say spend some time in therapy or have been on a bona fide spiritual journey or consider themselves to be. You know, if someone really has no idea and they have all kinds of trauma that has not been processed yet, I would say let's start with some therapy. Yeah. And let's not start with archetypal consulting. Archetypal consulting is for people who want just a different lens and a different way of thinking about things, but it requires some personal work to have been done already.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And so one of the archetypes that you mentioned also is the warrior archetype. So how would you assist women in developing those qualities of that warrior archetype?
Sure. So the warrior is, well, I like to think of the victim archetype as when we start to evolve out of the victim and being so oppressed and so poor me. And so, oh, I'm not allowed to have this good thing in my life. You know, what we need to do is take on that warrior quality. And what would it be like if we stood really tall and had our feet grounded down and we put our hands out in front of us and just simply instead of when the victim says, I'm not allowed to have this thing. What if the warrior said, I will not allow this dynamic to continue? And then dynamic can either be outside of them, some kind of injustice happening, or it can be within their own thoughts. What if their own thoughts are keeping them down? What if there's the I'm not good enough thought is just a tape that plays in their head? And when you're being conscious about this work, now that we're talking about the Kairos level of consciousness, where we bring our will into things, you can tell that tape in your head to knock it off. And that's the warrior energy. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to shoot arrows at that thought. You can just say, I'm not going to continue in this vein. And that is a strong warrior type energy to bring in. Does that answer your question?
It does, because I did read that article where you were talking a lot about the victim archetype. And so that's kind of where that came from. And so what are some practical steps or exercises that an individual can take to become more conscious of the shadow side of their archetypes in their wheel?
I would ask, where are you getting stuck? Mm-hmm. If we're just talking about the victim, even just that, I would ask people to think of an area. I actually do this when I lead my workshops. Think of an area in their life where they're maybe disempowered, leaking energy, not standing in their power. I mean, we've all got something, right? So do a little bit of journaling, write about what that is. Maybe get out your colored pencils and your crayons and do a little, like, what does it feel like when you're disempowered, when you're a little bit in the victim archetype or whichever archetype you're working with? And then think, okay, if I could have a posture or a color or some words, do some journaling, what would be the next most empowering step for this archetype to take? And do some journaling from that place. And how does your picture change if you're doing art? How does your posture change if you're doing movement? What's the next step that you can consciously do, whether it's a victim or a saboteur or a mother or a rebel, you know? And if you get stuck, that might be where you might want to check with an archetypal consultant or even just your own best friend who knows you really well. Like, you know, I'm sabotaging my diet. I can't stay on a healthy diet. You know, like, what does that look like? What does that feel like? Get to know it really well. What would the next step look like? What would that feel like? Bring that energy in. What if you were someone that could stick to a healthy diet? And I'm just using that as an example. I don't know what people's blocks are, or an exercise regimen. What would that look like? What would that have to happen? How would you feel in your body if you were someone who had a good exercise regimen? Mm. You know, and start working that. Spend more time with that than you're spending with the shadow side.
Yeah, that sounds like manifestation work to me, where you're beginning to give yourself the possibility of what it would feel like to be embodied in a different way than what you currently do, feel, or act like. Is like you kind of see yourself as your ideal version of you, and you're able to feel that energy and you make that possibility kind of how we connect.
And you have to take the steps, right? You have to take the steps on this earth, on this planet to do that. And then the lovely part of this work is that the highest level of consciousness that Carolyn Mace talks about in her work is called the cosmic level of consciousness. And so through our efforts to create change in our lives, those are human efforts that we act on the world. The cosmic energy kind of comes to meet us. So the light side of the lightest, highest side, if we're truly engaging with an archetype, will come to meet us halfway. It's nothing we can control. We'll probably be really surprised, but it'll be a quality that comes in like forgiveness or compassion or an awareness of truth or kindness or something like that. We can call them the fruits of the spirit if you want to. But, you know, we can't make those qualities enter into us. We can only do our best in the second level of consciousness. We can do all the work we can do, but then the higher qualities are gifts that come in because the universe will recognize our efforts if we're lucky and come in and give us a blessing in a way that makes it bigger than we could have ever created for ourselves. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I talk about when I left my marriage, I was just kind of wanting maybe more help with dinner and dishes. And then I wound up like creating two businesses and going on podcasts and talking to people about their consciousness and empowerment. And I never in my life would have thought that taking some action like that would have led to bigger and bigger events, bigger and bigger things happening. And that's kind of how it works. In my experience.
I really like this in that we talk a lot on this show about different ways of healing and finding out who you are and things like that. But I think this is a really cool, different way that I haven't necessarily heard of before, you know, figuring out what your archetypes are. So this is this is really interesting. It is. It is.
Yeah.
I really like this. I think it's really cool that this is something that you offer.
Yeah. And if you want to play around with the diva archetype a little bit, if you go to my website, which is yourradiantlife.net, there's a free meditation you can download where it's called Unleash Your Inner Diva, because I wrote that and created that because I need it so much. And it's just a little gift for people if they want to just a taste of what some archetype work could feel like in their for themselves in their own lives.
Yeah, I feel like that part of my creative spark is creating offerings, or, you know, definitely drawing in or bringing in what it is that feels like I can access it. And then I create that offering or that event or whatever so that other people can experience the same thing. Or I think it's part of just how I heal and how I learn and have experiences is like, okay, well, if I want to heal my voice, then I'm going to create an event where we do singing or whatever. Right. And you have that, you know, if, okay, so if you want to be a diva, then, you know, let's see what that meditation, know, puts you in the space of. And then, I mean,
I wonder if you've got a little bit of the teacher archetype.
Oh, gosh, I've been a teacher my entire life. So
we usually teach what we most need to learn.
Absolutely. Because then we learn through experience. We learn through being able to embody that. And when it's just a concept that you talk about, like it's if you're just kind of regurgitating what you've heard in a book, but you've never done it yourself, then it's not really real. It doesn't feel real to me.
No, it's two dimensional. It's too flat.
Exactly. So when you create it for yourself, or you see other people also doing it, and then you attract those people to you, I think that's part of that cosmicness is like, okay, we're going to bring people in that are experiencing the same thing that I am. You know, one time I remember I had kind of one of those cosmic moments. I was a friend of ours was talking about going to a Joe Dispenza meditation and her experience with the divine and everything, and how she was connecting, because he teaches you how to do meditation standing and walking and even, you know, sitting down for days and hours, right? And so you're embodying that.
Been there.
Yeah, it sounds like an incredible experience. It was like she was telling us and we were experiencing it through her. And then I just had this moment of enlightenment, this like snap that just was like, oh my God, I've created my work to discuss and talk about all of the things that I need to heal so that I can do that through the experience of talking to other people and embodying that through my life. And I thought it was hilarious. It made me laugh so much because I was like, look at me just creating what I need.
It also sounds like that's what the wounded healer archetype does as well. And I have that one as one of my 12, where we wouldn't use the kind of the matter of our own lives in order to help us heal others. And we can do it with so much compassion because we've been there. And there's not a lot of arrogance if you're a wounded healer, although that can happen.
We're
just here to pick
on, we got to work through our righteousness with that too and move into humility, because that's part of that, you know, that it is. And I think it's like, that also kind of reminds me of when you were talking about the addict archetype, where we offer that compassion to other people, because I for sure understand how shame can prevent us from changing and shifting. But if we integrate that and let, you know that we're not so different than everyone else, that everyone has, you know, their stuff that they're working through, and that we can come into that place and be forgiving to ourselves and to other people.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautifully said.
So Carolyn, do you have like a favorite archetype that's in your chart?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I love them all. I'm pretty attached to them. Like they say, after you've worked with one chart for a long time, if you want to switch some out, you can. I'm reluctant to do that, but that's probably just my own attachment issues. But I think the victim archetype thus far in my journey has taught me so much. That's the one I seem to be working with the most in the past few years. Okay. But there are others, like the mystic, for example. I have the mother as well. I have two children. I have the mother archetype. I have the sage archetype, which in the shadow can be just so righteous and snobby. you know, but in the light can be a fount of wisdom for others. So yeah, I've wounded healer. There's just, yeah, I guess it depends on the stage of life, what you, what you're working with. Yeah.
I'm curious if the number 12, because it's in astrology and it's in the, I mean, you're not saying that you use the astrological houses. You're saying it's a different system, correct, for the archetypes?
Well, we're using the astrological houses. I'm just want to be clear that I'm not an astrologer, but I do talk about like 12th house, for example. I can have a conversation with someone about what happens in 12th house with a specific archetype.
Because I just, I studied numerology a little bit, and I feel like the number 12 is just like this perfect number that we utilize, you know, in astrology for a reason. And I just wonder what significance is. Do you have any insight on what that could be, or?
I don't. I have a dear friend who does numerology for others, but all I know is that the 12th house is the house of Pisces, and there's a lot of unconscious underground things that happen there. And it's also just so pivotal for our healing. They say the 12th house is the house that where we bring in things from either past lifetimes, if you believe that, or ancestral, like what happened in your mother's womb while you were being created, like we, whatever your archetype is in your 12th house, it came from before this current incarnation. And so there's a lot of patterns there that we're maybe not always aware of that would do us very well to clean up a little bit.
Oh, interesting. So
that we can go on and have freer lives.
Well, we all want that, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, is there anything that you would like to let our listeners know?
You know, I am giving a very introductory workshop online on Sunday morning, East Coast time, July 9th, I think it is. And I did not send you that link. But if anybody wanted to hop on a Zoom call and do a little bit of archetype work, it's just my preliminary workshop. Just give people a taste of what there is. They could do that. They could go to my website and download a free copy of Unleash Your Inner Diva if they want to do that. And the book Sacred Contracts, you know, if people aren't willing to commit to jump into working with someone, take a look at the book. So much in that book. And, you know, there are instructions on how to do your own wheel right there. So you can experiment with that, see how that goes. There's lots of people to reach out to if you need help.
That's amazing. Well, Carolyn, thank you so much for joining us and being on the show and discussing this with us. I know I learned a lot and definitely have questions outside of the podcast that need to be answered.
Good. Well, thank you, Marlena and Daisy, for having me.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you so much for joining us on A Witch, a Mystic, and a Feminist. Please go to our website, wmfpod.com. And thank you so much for joining us.